This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana and a new signature sponsor starting today. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. 877-217-5757 is your number. Our email is talk@talklouisiana.org. Hope you had a great weekend. We continue to have balmy and beautiful weather in this area, and happy Mother's Day belatedly to those who, of course, have been the major players for most of us. Our mothers are the most prominent people in our lives. 877-217-5757. We start with the celebrated writer Brad Meltzer. I've identified him as the most versatile writer in American life today, and maybe of all time. He's appeared on the bestseller list for fiction, nonfiction, for advice, for children's books, and comic books. And his latest work is a historical book about the 16th American president, Abraham Lincoln, considered by most to be the greatest of all. And it's a book about the Lincoln conspiracy. And this isn't the one that took the life of Abe Lincoln. This is one that almost took him out very early in his career as far as being a presidential aspirant. And Brad Meltzer, it is a captivating and compelling, riveting story, and one that most Americans probably are not familiar with.
Yes, this is one that we all know the story of John Wilkes Booth ending like Abraham Lincoln's presidency, but this is the story of the first secret plot to kill Abraham Lincoln at the very start, because in order to be sworn in as America's 16th president, Lincoln had to take a train from his home in Springfield, Illinois, to Washington, D.C., and the only way to get there was to go through Baltimore. But Maryland at the time was a slave state. So the plan was simple. A secret society planned to ambush Lincoln when he came through Baltimore and end his presidency before it even began. And all of this really happened, which is, of course, the basis for our new book,
The Lincoln Conspiracy. And for those who think that Lincoln's reputation, justly received as an abolitionist, happened somewhere in the middle of his presidency or late in his presidency, obviously, that is not true.
Yeah, no, that, you know, what I love also, and let me just say this, is just kind of the breathlessness that this amazing story, not only is it true, but takes you on. Because, you know, you're in the middle of the night, there's a speeding train filled with passengers, and the ones we're focused on, there's a couple in particular, there's two businessmen, there's a woman, and she has an invalid brother, but none of them are who they say they are, Jim, because one of the businessmen is famed detective Alan Pinkerton, head of the Pinkerton Detective Agency. The woman is Kate Warren, America's first female private eye, and her so-called brother isn't her brother at all. In fact, he's not an invalid either. His name is Abraham Lincoln. It's him in disguise. They give him a code name. They give him a disguise. They whisk him away in the middle of the night to make sure the secret society doesn't murder him. And, well, I just ruined chapter one of the Lincoln conspiracy, but you know, that's chapter one. That's how it opens. So not only is this something that really happened, but it's something that, you know, just holds you by the throat.
Well, the story begins 1861, a train traveling from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. in the dark of nights, days before the inauguration. And Lincoln is in disguise on the train. He's dressed as an invalid. He wears a shawl, a low-brimmed hat, and a secret society, as Brad Meltzer notes, does not want President Lincoln to become the leader of our country. And so how did this plot get thwarted?
Yeah, so thankfully it gets thwarted because of a couple of people on that train. And it's Alan Pinkerton eventually gets hired to bring in some help, because this investigation begins. There's rumors that they're going to blow up the track. They're going to stop Lincoln's train. No one knows what the real story is, but one of the heads of the railroads hires Alan Pinkerton, and that's the smartest move they make. And for those who don't know Alan Pinkerton, he is truly one of the most famous detectives ever to have lived, certainly in the United States. And he's a Chicago guy who goes to Chicago eventually because he wants to fight crime, wants to do good, but sees the Chicago cops seem to be more corrupt to him. So he hangs out a shingle. I'm going to be a private eye. That shingle has a logo, big giant eyeball, and he opens the Pinkerton National Detective Agency, and the logo says, "We never sleep." Big giant eyeball that we're watching you. That's apparently where America gets the term private eye from, that eyeball.
Huh.
And what I love is that it's Pinkerton who saves, you know, who really helps work on this plot. And we should talk about some of the other detectives he hires to do just that.
Yeah, well, it was a plot that was serious. And if it had been successful, then President Lincoln, he never would have even been inaugurated. What was the difference between him dying in 1861 and living until 1865? What did those 4 years do for our country?
Listen, that's the Civil War. That's the victory. Because as you can, you know, listen, we deal with that in the end of the book. Like, you know, if Lincoln dies right at the start of his presidency rather than when John Wilkes Booth comes in 4 years later, does the world change? Like, does someone better even come forward? And we haven't even, you know, we do even better in the Civil War with a better outcome? Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what I think we lose with Abraham Lincoln if he dies early is we lose the story of Abraham Lincoln. Because, you know, the story of Abraham Lincoln being the young kid who's from nothing who ascends to the presidency is not just the story of our 16th president. That's the story of the American dream itself. And I think that that loss would be profound. But you can see, you know, the results and the inspiration that comes from it. You know, one of my favorite scenes in the book is when they finally tell Abraham Lincoln that there's a plot to kill him. And Lincoln is tired at the end of the day, is exhausted. They're in a hotel room on their way to go to D.C. And they say to him, sir, listen, there's a plot to kill you. It's a credible threat. I know you have a big event in Philadelphia tomorrow, but we need you to skip that event. Instead, we want you to come with us. We're going to get you out of here early. We're going to get to D.C. early. No one will know. We'll save your life. And Lincoln says, I'm not missing the event in Philadelphia. Why? Because, Jim, the next day in Philadelphia, they are honoring the birthday of one of Abraham Lincoln's heroes, a man named George Washington. And no way is Abraham Lincoln missing the event for George Washington. So he goes to Philadelphia. They have this big event for George Washington. They talk about the beauty of the Declaration of Independence, given everyone in America should have a fair, equal chance. And Lincoln says, God bless Josh Mensch, my co-writer on the book, found the original speech that Lincoln gives that day. And what Lincoln says is basically, if we can't save the country without losing these principles, and then Lincoln pauses, and he says, I was about to say that I'd rather be struck down and assassinated on this spot than surrender. And we know now in that moment, Abraham Lincoln knew there was a plot to kill him when he says, you know, assassinate me right here. And I love the fact that he, you know, has that moment. But what I love even more is soon after that is when they whisk him out of there, save his life. I won't ruin how, because you'll see that in the Lincoln conspiracy. But that's basically the moment where they potentially save Abraham Lincoln's life.
The book is The Lincoln Conspiracy from the fabulous writer Brad Meltzer, and also probably the most prolific writer. He's got a list of books that is quite impressive. But how did this plot get, how did it get revealed?
Yeah, you know, the plot got revealed because one of the heads of the railroad company, the railroads were, of course, back then owned by different wealthy barons. Samuel Felton is the one who owns the PW&B Railroad, kind of the area of Wilmington and Washington area. And he gets a tip, of all things, just a tip in the middle of the night from Dorothea Dix, one of the famous charitable workers, amazing woman. This woman has the tip that, you know, someone's going to blow up your railroad. And he's the one who hires Alan Pinkerton. And Alan Pinkerton is smart, too. He hires some help, too. He, one day, a 26-year-old woman walks into his office. She had seen an ad in the paper for Private Eyes. And she walks in and says, I want the job. Now, this is a time when almost nobody is hiring female private eyes, much less female law enforcement agents. But she's like, I want the job. And he's like, you should be the secretary. Why would I hire you as a private eye? And she says, you know, men brag to me. They tell me things because I'm a woman to impress me. And Alan Pinkerton, to his credit, realizes right there that people talk to this woman and say things to her that they will never say to him. And that's Alan Pinkerton's great power, is he knows how to infiltrate your life. He burrows in like a termite. Termites, you know, they eat the foundation from the inside out, and then that column that holds it all up crumbles and the whole building comes down with it. And that's what Pinkerton does, is he infiltrates this secret society, an offshoot of it's called the Knights of the Golden Circle, and one by one puts his agents into this secret society and figures out what they're up to. And it's like termites, and you watch the whole building crumble.
A listener notes, Brad, that the three presidents considered by most historians to be the greatest in American history, Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, all dodged death. Washington, of course, many times in the Revolutionary War. Lincoln, before he was ultimately killed. And Roosevelt almost died before he took the oath of office in March of 1933 in Miami, when the mayor of Chicago took a bullet for him and gave his life to save the 32nd American president.
Yeah, we actually did the previous book to the Lincoln Conspiracy. Not only did George Washington dodge many things in the Revolution, but our first book is literally called The First Conspiracy, and it's about the secret plot to kill George Washington. There was, in 1776, a secret plot to kill George Washington.
All right, we'll be back with Brad after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. Matt Doyle is producing. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and in just a moment, we'll hear from the longtime economist, Warren Scott, about what's going on with our world regarding money and coronavirus. But we're finishing with Brad Meltzer, the world-famous historian. His book is The Lincoln Conspiracy, showing how dangerously close killers came to changing the course of American history in 1861 and what kind of leadership was required to thwart that plot. And before we go, Brad, a listener asks, with the amazing success of stopping the first attempt to kill the 16th American president, why was there such a flaw in keeping him alive in 1865?
Yeah, you know, it's a really fair question. And the answer is because no president had ever been killed yet. And that's the real reason. They don't even realize that, you know, every president before then, they're all threatened. They all get hate mail. None like Lincoln. I mean, no one was hated like Lincoln. Lincoln was hated so much that 10 different states they refused to put him on the presidential ballot, even though he was the rightful nominee. The country was so, you know, just destroyed and divided them. But the reason they didn't know is because no one had been killed. It never worked. All that hate mail never really amounted to anything. So it's not until people always say, why do we not know this story? Why? Because this was the biggest story in the whole country at a moment in time. But then Abraham Lincoln gets sworn in and the Civil War explodes. And then 4 years later, Abraham Lincoln takes a bullet to the head, and all of this becomes a footnote. But it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln got killed that in 1865 that the Secret Service finally start doing protective service. So the truth was they had police there on the train ride. There were local cops. Abraham Lincoln brought his own buddies for security. He had a burly kind of friend who used to have a giant knife and a gun. But it's kind of like asking your toughest high school friend to come with you. It's not really as organized. And in fact, they were so clueless about security, they were printing Abraham Lincoln's train schedule, who he was meeting with, what time he was coming into the station, where he'd be and when he'd leave, in the newspaper every day for everyone to see, because they thought it was great that everyone would come out and visit him. They didn't think for one second, hey, maybe we're actually tipping off someone who wants to kill him. And so his arrival in Baltimore, the Secret Society knew. They had the exact right time, date, where, when he arrived in Baltimore, that was the kill zone.
The book is The Lincoln Conspiracy, and yes, Abraham Lincoln was not on the ballot in Louisiana. He was the Republican Party nominee, and because of his stance on slavery, he was not on the ballot. Thank you, Brad Meltzer. It is always a pleasure to talk with you.
Truly.
See you soon, and
thanks,
congratulations.
Sir.